So now we're going to learn Be'ezrat Hashem from Ben Ish Chai. This year, this week is from the first year. It's from the first year because Hilchos Chanukah is in this first year of the cycle. Ben Ish Chai Parshas Vayishev. So it's going to be after Parshas Vayishev. Mine is page Nun Aleph. Chana, you got it? It's the end. It's Parshas Vayishev, but and it's going to be Nun Aleph. Page Nun Aleph. Fine. Everyone has it. So it says, "Amar Mechaber." The author wrote, "Askir od beparsha zohalchot Chanukah." And also mentioned parsha Hilchos Chanukah. She wrote, "Show you most years." And he told us what time. Is that the Shabbat parsha? Most years I speak about them in parsha Vayeshev, because usually parsha Vayeshev is going to be the week Shabbos before Chanukah, like this year, right? This week. It's going to be the week, right now it's the week before Chanukah. Next week, during the week, will be Chanukah. Oh. So instead of this week's Parsha, like this week's Parsha, we have the dreams. We have Yosef was in jail, Yosef Tzadik was in jail, right? You have the dreams of the Sarofim Sarah Mashkim, the cupbearer. You know, okay? So what happened? What do you say in his dream? That's what the article says, cupbearers. The Sarah Mashkim, the poor, what?
He was in charge of Paro's wine.
Yeah, Paro's wine. He used to pour the wine for the king, and he was put in jail. Right, and he had a dream.
And didn't fly in, and he was
And then he got put in jail, and he had a dream. Right, what happened? It's interesting to note that what happened with his dream. He had a dream. How did Yosef Vitali know he had a dream? Because he said, "Why do you look sad today?" So everybody asked the question, "Why do you? What do you mean, why do you look sad today?" Because they're in an Egyptian prison in a cell. So really, Yosef Vitali was so happy and so much emuna. Everybody in his jail was also happy. Know that? So therefore, the day he saw a guy sad, he's like, "Why are you depressed today? Why do you face? Why do you look so sad today?" That's it.
That's well, he had Guendouzi even a nightmare.
Yeah, so he told him he had a nightmare, but which caused Yosef Tzadik eventually to get free was because he was always besimcha, and then he realized that this guy was sad today. So you see, in that jail, everybody was always besimcha, and he taught everybody to have emunah, even in an Egyptian jail. Imagine. Fine. Let's see here. So what did he say in his dream? What did he see in his dream? He told me, "I had a dream." Gabriel, what did he see in his dream? He saw...
Three grapes.
Oh.
And the grapes were...
Blossoms. And whole kinds of good stuff. What did he say? Uba Geffen. Let's see inside. And on the vine, he said, "I saw a vine." And on the vine, I saw Shlosh Shasagim. There were three branches. Right? He saw a vine. What did he see in his dream? He saw a grapevine, like the vine, a grapevine. So like three, they call them tendrils. Basically three branches in English. Three branches that were coming out. V'hi kiparachan. And then he saw the body. Rashi says in the pasuk, he didn't see everything at one stage. He saw a vine. He saw all the stages, like the process of a grape growing. First saw in his dream, the vine, the branches. Then he saw a budding. V'hi kiparachan. Parachan means he saw a budding. Right, and then al tanitza, then the blossoms bloom. And we saw the next stage of the grapes growing, and then hifshilu ashkulateha anavim. It seems he saw hifshilu means it ripened, cooked, it got ripe. Ashkulateha, the clusters, anavim he saw turn into grapes. So that's what he saw. He saw a vine growing with three branches. And then he saw a bud. Then he saw a blossom, and then he saw eventually the grapes came out. From page Nun Aleph, the Shana Rishana. Fine. Nirali v'siyat d'shmai. Geffen, who's the Geffen? Eli Yisrael. Who's a grapevine? That's the Jews. The Jews are a grapevine. Shenim shul Geffen, the Chazal give a mashal, the analogy to the Jews is a grapevine. It's the vine. Why? Shu etz chalash barach. This is a tree, the branch is very thin and weak. That's a grapevine, they're very thin. But, ach, however, the fruits are very beautiful. They're very nice. You get good fruits from it, even though it's so weak, the vine. The weakest tree, basically, there is the weakest vine. But the fruits are good. You get out of grapes, you get food and drink. You eat the grapes, so you can make it into wine. Right? So, can you sell? So too the Jewish people. Even though we're weak. We produce good fruits. The Torah is what we do. Torah and mitzvahs, we produce good fruits. That's one reason why we're compared to a grapevine. Because just like a vine is weak, but it produces nice fruits. Us also, we're weak, but we produce nice fruits. We do Torah and mitzvahs. Gam HaGevin also, why is the Jews compared to a Geffen? Hagefen, the vine, in other kabelet nitziyachai, it doesn't accept any other plants. You try to graft it, says that you can't really graft it with anything else. Shalot et arev, it doesn't want to mix, b'sha'ay lana, it doesn't want to mix with other trees. Ken Yisrael, so too the Jewish people. Katubah, it says, Hein am, behold, they're a nation, levadad yishkon, alone, they dwell alone. Levadad, alone, yishkon, they dwell. The Jewish people, they dwell alone. We don't want to mix with the other nations. But it's the other way. They do want to mix with us. See, the reality is they do.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it should be. Right, but we see, even though we're so weak. Good. Now, but even a Jew who would get mixed with the other nations, it's impossible. It's like they get swallowed up. Ish Israel. A Jewish person can never get swallowed and engulfed by the other side, the side of the evil. And get mixed into it altogether, completely. Every Jew, even if he falls into the other side, can never get sucked into it completely. Ella rather so full, I said, in the end you'll get out of it. Even a Jew is doing averus, and they're doing things, or they're with the goyim, eventually they'll get out of it. How are they going to do tshuva? Where's their tikkun? He says, don't worry about it. If you two come, they'll get fixed. Like they come a gilgulim, they'll go through a bunch of gilgulim, and eventually they'll get fixed up. But no Jew is ever going to be left behind. He's going to bring a pasuk soon. Every Jew eventually, you're never going to get swallowed and get stuck into the other nation. Every Jew is going to get out of it. Okay, we're going to see soon. The promise, Shem says, every Jew is going to be taken care of somehow. We don't know how it's going to work. Everyone's going to get taken care of. Ki Hashem Yisbach, Choshev Machshavot, Hashem always thinks Machshavos, Levelti Yidach B'menon Yidach. There shouldn't be banished from him any person who's pushed away. I mean, Hashem always thinks of plans how to make us do tshuva. He figures out ways how to make us do tshuva. Hashem is always working on making us do tshuva. Every time we mess up, Hashem, it's like a chess game. You move the pieces, Hashem moves the pieces a different way. You can't mess up Hashem's plan. If Hashem wants us to be good Jews, eventually we'll get fixed up. He'll send us down this way, that way. Eventually he'll help us that we'll get our tikkun. If we're sitting here, hopefully this gilgul will make it. Yeah, Hashem makes tzitzikun. He works it out. We don't know where we're last gilgul. Eventually he recycles us enough times that we do tshuva.
Amen.
So for Amar, so why do you say Shlosha Saragim? Right, when soon he's going to talk about it, it's supposed to do it to Ben Ashchai. It says after another pshat also says, why did it say Shlosha Saragim? There were three branches. Right, because what does the pasuk start? The pasuk says Uba Gavin, Alan the Vine, which we said referring to the Jewish people. There are Shlosha Saragim. There are three branches. What's that referring to? That is like always Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. That's corresponding to a Jew is made up of three parts: of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Shenifta'im Yisrael, which was found in a Jew, Dafka specifically. Right, so we say that in a Gefen, in a Jewish person, there are Shlosha Saragim, they have these three components. The Umot HaOlam, because the nation of the world, Elam Ela Nefesh Min Klipa Da'asiyah. They have a Nefesh from a Klipa Da'asiyah. They have a very low Nefesh from the lowest world of Asiyah, and a Klipa from Asiyah, that's where they get their Nefesh. If you want to know how a guy lives, because they have a Nefesh. They have something like what we would call a soul, but it's not really what we call a soul. It's a Nefesh. But a Jew has a Nefesh, Ruach, and a Shama that keeps us going. Now, Tikkun Shel Yisrael, who Shlosha Madrigot, also was the triple branches. The Tikkun, the way a Jew gets fixed, we have to take three steps to fix ourselves up. Even if we get stuck by the guy, we do our Utchila, in the beginning, he keporachat. We start budding. Our tshuva process starts budding. That is tshuva shvuhu alef. We start thinking repentance in our hearts. That's when our Tikkun starts budding. That's what it means. You're starting to get, your rectification process is starting to bud. Afterwards, that's the pasuk says afterwards. Al tahnitza, which means the blossoms bloom. That's the next step. One is this. This is tshuva b'maisa. When we actually do tshuva in action, then our blossoms are blooming. However, himiyira, this is still tshuva from fear. So it's not the ultimate tshuva. Va'achach afterwards, hivshilu ashkota. That was the end of the pasuk we brought earlier, right? We said the rust, the clusters ripen. Anavim, and they make beautiful grapes. Right? I said, if shul, they ripen ashkotel, the clusters. Anavim into beautiful grapes. That is tshuva me'ava. That's tshuva from love. That at that point, Chazal teaches shahazadonot, even the averus we did on purpose, even the worst averus which we did on purpose, yitapechu l'tzchuyot, they'll be turned over into merits. So at that point, even our worst averus will be turned into beautiful grapes. Now, why are we saying this in a Lashon Bishul? Why does it say that it's going to get cooked, it's going to ripen or cluster into beautiful grapes? To hint to us that tznias should be done, that tshuva should be done in private. Hopefully, we heard of this before. Maybe tshuva should be done in private. You have to do it in private. As the Ben Shai says, you have to do tshuva in private. Like the pasuk says, you should go with privately with Hashem. You should be humble. And he's saying now specifically, you're referring to tshuva. A person should do tshuva in private. She'im yaseh tshuva tznias. Someone does tshuva in private. You do it, but you go to a secluded place. Yatzliach bayoter, you'll be much more successful. That's the Ben Shai says. A person can do tshuva in their marriage where everybody is. You go in private, do your tshuva, secluded place. Your tshuva will be a better tshuva. You'll be much more successful. You have a more successful tshuva.
Disturbances.
It sounds like it's not because so it sounds like because you go into a place, you humble yourself, you go in mitznias. I don't know. It doesn't say it because disturbances. It sounds like it's more spiritual. Also because of the disturbances. But Yadu, he says, it's known. So why is that visual? How do you see that something has cooked, right? We're saying tshuva means when you cook something, you're supposed to do it in tznias. Something cooks, you call the rahmet by shabak there. Whenever you cook something in a pot, in yichasuat there, if you cover over the pot, it's by shabak tov, it'll get cooked better. The gamra also quickly. So a person who does tshuva in private, he'll do a better tshuva, and he'll do tshuva much quicker. That's what the Ben Shai says. So therefore, that's what we're saying in the pasuk. The pasuk saying, if shilu ashkotav, you mean the highest level of tshuva, to get the tshuva ma'ava, the person gets the highest level of tshuva, specifically when he does tshuva in private. It will be a better tshuva, and it will happen quicker. So another good reason to do it, supposed to do. O yuvan b'siyat d'shmaya. O yuvan, omrish, shlosh l'shrik. What do you mean three branches? Another pshat. Kenayin machshava dibru maisa. Kenayin, right, there's three things. We always have thought, action, and speech. We try to serve Hashem with all three of them. We need the Torah and mitzvahs we do. They should be with all of them. It should be with thought, action, and speech. Don't just daven. We should have to put the thought into it. Not just do action, but the thought. The Jewish people are not complete unless we have all three together. We need to do the mitzvahs with our thoughts. Right, we need to do it in b'machsha. We need to think about what we're doing, not just do it without thinking. We speak it out and we do it with action. So nimtza, it's found. Shlemut ha-Torah, the complete Torah, to come to learn Torah about mitzvah, do the Torah mitzvahs properly, hurak v'shloshas, only with these three. Lachem, therefore, ha-Torah nikras or v'ha-mitzvah ner. The Torah is called the light, and the mitzvah is called the fire. Dichti, like the Pasuk says, ki ner mitzvah, the Torah, or it says the mitzvah is the ner, so to speak, the mitzvah is the ner, like the candle, let's say, for example, the candle will be the mitzvahs, and the Torah will be the light. V'hainu, ki haner kol shlosh dvarim biyachad. Every candle has three things. You need three components. Who asked me? You need the fire. Fafsil, you need the wick. Fashem, you need the oil. Shavatokan, which is in the candle, which is inside. V'imichsarachad, if you're missing any one of them, lo yaneser ner pi ulato, the ner won't do its job. If you're missing a wick, you can't have a fire. If you don't have a fire, not going to have a fire. If you have a wick and oil, it's not going to help you. If you have a fire with no wick and oil, it's not either going to help you. You need the fire, the wick, and the oil in order to burn. So again, you need these three components. The chaynami also, or the candle, the light also, yeshbo shlosh haglani, has three colors. Kenega shlosha hanis karim. So the chay mechanik, the chanukah also. Nasala hanis ba'or ha-menor. Why was the... It was done, the nes was done with the light of the nor. Shim shulash, which is also three. The kli, the shevin uptila. Here he switched it. Here he says one is the kli, one is the oil, one is the wick. He said also the gamma. Urshla mishlash shalakbaim. Also the light, the candle, the fire has three colors. Shizachul, they're most to teach us. Shizachul, to hint to us. Shizachul, why do they merit the nes chanukah? Lashay tabudat ha-kodesh eslam shalamah. The service of Hashem was complete. Machshava, dibur, umaisa. Now let's go to Halacha Aleph. Halacha Aleph. The other Rishon, on the first night of Chanukah, we make Shlosha Brachot, three brachas. Again, we have three. What three brachas we make? Lahadlik, right? We say Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, Sha'asa Nisin, Veshechiyanu. You give three. We make three brachas the first night. All the rest of the nights, you make two brachas, right? The first night, you make also Shechiyanu. Fine. We say that when Nasu Apayis comes out, Simon, they gave a Simon to this. There's a pasuk that says, "Aser lecha saraf." The Simon to anes ratav achay. So they make that they read the pasuk, "Aser lecha saraf," like make yourself a fire. Saraf is like from something that's burned. Make yourself a fire, which means first you make lahad lekner shulchanu. The Simon to anes, put it on. A nest is referring to Hasha'asa Nisim. Really, this pasuk is referring to something else totally, but they see in this pasuk hinted these three brachas. Finally, it says what also a person should say, Haneris Halalu. He says, the end of Ahlacha Aleph, V'yamdu Ishto Bana V'shat Racha, a person, wife, and children, their family should be there by the bracha, which Adal Akakorat, and when you're lighting all the candles, they should be present, the family should be present by the lighting of the candles. That's a person we need, so let's say you advertise a nace. But next halacha is really for the Sfarim. He says that you make the bracha lahadak ner Chanukah, not lahadak ner shel Chanukah. So Ashkenazim, I think Ashkenazim make lahadak ner shel Chanukah, right? For the Sfarim, halacha based thing, just make lahadak ner Chanukah, because it works out better with the numbers, everything works out better. Fine, let's see halacha gimel. Im lo beyach shechiyanu. Let's say a person forgot to make Shechiyanu below Rishon. He forgot the first night, he read the thing, he just did the first two brachas. He didn't make Shechiyanu, he skipped Shechiyanu. Could you make Shechiyanu the second night? Maybe it's not a new mitzvah anymore. Comes to Allah and says, yes. Yivarech b'lal sheni. If you forgot to make Shechiyanu the first night, you make Shechiyanu on the mitzvah. See, it's not only the first time you're doing it, you can still make Shechiyanu on the second night. Good? The Gam Ha'aval also, Aval Yivarech Shechiyanu, right? Aval also, even though he's mourning, he also makes Shechiyanu. Aval Onen Baruch Hashem, someone is a situation where they're Onen, meaning if someone passed away that day, or they didn't get buried with one of their relatives, it's the Shiva on. Yadlik below Bracha, he should light without a Bracha. If you measure a Shaliach, if you could do it with a Shliach, Nacham Ba'adav, it's better to do it with a Shliach. Now, where are you supposed to put the menorah? So here, he's more talking about mainly the doorway. Because see, like that's where they used to put it. These days, you ask Roshal, everybody lives in different places, but people have their minhag. Some people have a minute to put it outside the chatzar, or some people have a minute to put it by their window, or by their doorway. You should ask a local Orthodox rabbi where the best place for you. You can explain to them your house. Ask them where's the best place for you to light. Every person, it depends a lot on the situation. If people are passing by, they see your doorway, they don't see your doorway. You should light outside, inside. Basically, ask a rabbi with your exact house. It's a competent rabbi who knows all the halachas, where is the best place for you to light. Fine, now, let's say you're lighting by the door. Where do you light? So, mitzvah l'hanicha b'tafach hasamuch l'peta. You should light within a tafach, which is close to the door. Tefach is, according to Rav Chaim Noe, is 8 centimeters. So it should be within 8 centimeters next to the doorpost. Now, I feel it was ma'azesh ma'alikim, even though we light on inside. So now, which side of the door do you put it? So in any mezuzah, if there's no mezuzah for some reason on the right side of your door, meaning when we're saying right and left now, we're referring to when you would walk into your house. Then Yani Chaim put it on the right side. Most people, they have a mezuzah there. So if on the right side, when I walk into my house, on the right side there's a mezuzah, put it, the menorah, on the left side. Right, we're talking when you're walking in.
What? Don't people have a mezuzah?
Yeah, you usually have to have a mezuzah. For some reason, so you could not have a mezuzah. Let's say you took it off. In Israel, you really, it's
just
more common.
30 days.
In America, over here, if it's rented and it's less 30 days, there are scenarios where you're not chayiv, you have to have a mezuzah. You're right, usually you have to have a mezuzah. There are scenarios where chutz la'aretz is more scenarios where it's possible to have a situation where you don't have a menorah. It's a temporary house, or you're just renting it. Let's say you're renting a hotel room and they light a menorah. So there's no mezuzah, for example. You're somewhere, there's no mezuzah, you're renting a hotel room and they're going to give you permission, let's say, to light outside the door, the outer door of the hotel. Let's say, for whatever reason, you light there. Right? You have a door that's to the outside. Right? Let's say you have one of these places, you have a suite. It's not, you have, it's on the, you have, you're lighting outside. It's not you're renting. You have a scenario where there's no mezuzah. Then you always put the mitzvah on the right, so you'll put it on the right. So if a normal scenario, you're lighting at home, most nice Jews like you would have a mezuzah, so then you should put it on the left side of you walking, more to the left side. The left side, on the left side to when you're walking in on the left side. Now you're going to have three mitzvahs together. Why? Someone who walks in, let's say someone walks in, they're wearing tzitzis. Right? You're wearing tzitzis on you. You walk through the door now. Shutalas katan sholav yavi tzitzit. Vashatei shalom temach. You're going to be doing three mitzvahs now of temach. You're surrounded by three mitzvahs. Tzitzis, because you're wearing tzitzis. Mezuzah, because you have your mezuzah on your right side. And Chanukah, which is your Chanukah, which is your menorah, is on the left side. When you walk through this door, you're surrounded by three mitzvahs.
And if it's nighttime, there's no tzitzis.
Still good.
And then you have circumcision.
V'schus zeh, yevav v'shiach tzitkenu. Temach shema. He says, v'schus a person who walks through the door, and he's wearing his tzitzis, and they have a mezuzah on his door, and lighting a menorah, I don't know if you actually physically have to walk through the door. I mean, when you're standing by your menorah, you're doing these three mitzvahs. Tzitzis, mezuzah, Chanukah, then you are bringing down the light of Tzemach. Tzemach is Mashiach. We say in Davi, Tzemach David Av Zachamir Tatzmiach. Tzemach is another name for Mashiach. So he's saying, through a person who's wearing tzitzit and they light the menorah and they have the mezuzah, through this act, they're obviously bringing Mashiach in a big way. It's a big way to draw the light of Mashiach. So he says, V'yizkayim, and you get the Pali Pizchu Sha'arim, also open the gates. We have a Gai Tzadik, and the nation of a Tzadik will come. Ki Yom Nisbal Tefretzi. Also, the Pesukim say from the right and the left, he'll break through. Basically, surrounded by the mitzvahs. Oh, now, which candle do you light first? When we say Chanukah, we mean the Chanukah. Some people call it Chanukiah. He means the menorah. He calls the Chanukah menorah. It's called the Chanukah. Uchsheniach Chanukah amezuzah haPesach b'smal. When you're putting the menorah on the left side, by the left neck, closer to the left doorpost, yaniach b'layla harishana, as haner b'katza hasheni. Should put on the first night the ner which is on the other end of the menorah, the end furthest away from the doorpost. Shehu harach gemenapes, which is the furthest away from the doorpost. What do you do on the second night? Yaniach haner hasheni b'tzido. Put the candle right next to it. Shekarav lapesach yotzei min harishon, which will be closer to the doorpost than the first one. Ubo matzil ladlik. That's the one you start to light. Ad shenitza until you find. Melal Shmini on the eighth night, or Tov Ner HaNosaf, that candle which you added, Yisamach LaPetzach Mamish, is the closest to the right, is the closest to the doorpost, which means you're putting it. Basically, you're always going to the most right of your menorah. You're going to go to the most right of your menorah, right? You start from the most right, but every night your additional one is to the left. Then you go left to right, right? That true?
Yeah.
What do you say? The new one will always be to the left, but because the point is you're always moving to the right. As you light, you move to the right. So basically the rule is you always light left to right. The first night you'll do the most right one. You go left to right. Because whenever you turn to the right. So you want to always be able to turn to the right. It's good? Fine. If he says that this is somewhere else, fine. So basically, come out, by the time you get to your eighth night, you're starting from the one closest to the doorpost, right? Since it's on the left, you start to narrow close to the doorpost, and you go all the way.
No. Lighting, you mean?
You're going to start lighting.
You always light the new one.
You light the newest one. The newest one will be all the way to the left, so it's going
to
be closer
to the right.
Right, and then the most one to the most left will be closest to your doorpost. If you're lighting in the doorway. If you're lighting in the window, also, that's what you do. You always go from left to right. Now, what's the best height to put the menorah?
Let's say doing it in the window, you're doing left to right from where you're looking at or from where they're looking.
No, so you always go by where you are. So you always go, I light where I am. So it's right. And from the outside, you're always going to see people. It's going to be the opposite. Right. So I light by the window. So from the outside, it looks the opposite. From the outside, you look up, you see the opposite. Correct. You always go from where I'm lighting. So if you look up in everybody's window, they didn't light wrong. They just, that's the way they were facing.
Right.
So I'm always going to go left to right where I'm lighting. If you go up a ladder, so then you light the other way. So if someone lights in the outside, their window still in the box. If you light, then you still go left to right. So you can look backwards. One guy lit in a box right outside his window. Right. Another guy lit in his window. The next floor, you'll see two different ways. Right? Because if the guy lit in his box, you have to right, left to right. Doesn't matter. We're not. For somebody who says they should see the lights are lit. They'll see one light, two lights. They don't care which side you know you lit them on. Your job is to light it, always start for left and always turn right.
But you won't see it that way.
Right, I'll see it. Right, I'll see what you. Right. I can see both ways. You're correct. Sometimes you'll see it this way, sometimes that way. You're right. If a guy lit in a box outside, you'll see it. I'll see it the way he lit the way I'm looking at it. So I'll see it left to right. If a guy lit in his window, if I look from here, fine, you'll see. If you see the box, you'll see it. If you see it, you'll see it
all different ways.
Yeah, you see it different ways because that's the reality. Because it depends the way the person was standing when he lit.
You also can light it perpendicular initially if you can't really get to your window.
But which way are you going to start from? Which way are you going to start from?
Start from the left also.
Yeah. Fine, then you go to the right. Now, yeah. You could also be looking, you might see someone who has a perpendicular, you know whose it is. Fine. You see a
menorah. No. Then I would turn it around.
You mean not let it move? It. You can't move it.
Can't
move
it.
Not to move it. Once you light it, to leave it the way you like. If you have to move it, to light it that way from the beginning.
Windows are not wide enough.
Windows are not wide enough.
I can't rest it on a window. I have to rest it on a
windowsill. What are you? There's no windowsill?
Not large enough.
So you could put it on
a
stool.
Sliding windows.
So you don't have to put it in the window. Put it that they can see. Why can't they see through the window? Let us see through the window.
I don't think there's room on the ledge.
So try to figure out some mechanism how you can lift it, put some suspender and a thing that you make it that's right in front of the window.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You try to put it on something.
Something to raise it.
Put a table. Figure out all your. Start thinking about it from now. So by then already you have it all set up. Put a bookshelf.
No, that's doable.
And then put a stove for it. Take whatever you want. People light on top of a bookshelf. Put a bookshelf. They put a piece of stove for it. And light it on top. So that's by the window.
Yeah.
Whatever you can put under the window.
You have to light it.
So do you have to light each one? No. The main one you have to light is the first one. Now, if you have children, some people have the minhag, but Shai had the minhag, some people have the minhag to let the children light the extra one. I mean, the main mitzvah is one there. Right? We do mahajj, we light extra every night according to that night. So the main one should be the Baal HaBayis and the one who is making the bracha. And afterwards, you could let the children light the rest.
There's a breeze.
There's a what?
If there's a breeze.
So we're going to talk about it soon. If there's a breeze, if when you lit it, it was able to go out.
No, he lit it out.
Lit the one, and then the breeze lit carried the others. Carry the fire to the others.
I love it. No, so you didn't light it then. So you didn't light it. You could put them out and light it. You didn't light them.
I lit the main one.
Fine, so you're not high. You're not high to light the rest. You did your mitzvah. If you light one candle every night, you get your mitzvah. Make her a din. Right? Put the light if you want match. Fine. Now, where's the best place to put it? If you're on a windowsill, you can't really help this because you're already putting it high up. You're putting it off the ground. So, what's the right place to light it? So, manicha has to be lamayla mishloisha tfachim. It has to be higher than three tfachim, which we said a tefal, according to Reb Chaim Na'a, is going to be about 8 centimeters. So, it has to be above 24 centimeters. It can't be below 24 centimeters off the ground. Good? Should be less than 10 tefach, which means it's better if it's less than 80 centimeters. So it should be between 24 and 80 centimeters. Good? That's the best place. Now, under 24 is invalid. Can't be on the floor. So at least 24. Now, till 80 is good. But high up to, but you have up till
20 amas.
You have up till 20 amas. Good. The best is to put it about 7. Right, between, because exactly between the 3 and 10 points, you should put it a little higher than 7 tefachim, which would be a little higher, right over 56 centimeters. So if you have the ability to light it exactly above 56 centimeters, take your tape measure, figure out how you're going to do it, figure out all your. Some people build a box, special machang, every day they build a wood box. They could put, let's say, by their door, wherever they're lighting. So they have every year the right shear. You have something to put it on. So we take a box, make a box, and then put a little foil on it. Mm-hmm. Make a metal, they sell metal boxes, they sell a lot of different things. And therefore, you can have the best one. But basically, apia halacha pipsha, it's good between 24 and 80 centimeters is the best. And then from 80 till already 20 amos is going to be it's not so good. But over 20 amos is going to be. Now, I don't know how many people like this sukkah over 20 chan thing, over 20 amos. Anyway, the question going to be if your window is 20 amos higher than the floor. There comes the total shell. Despite what I say, anyway, since the people across your apartment building can see you, it's good. It's a different shav. Everyone should ask the local Orthodox shav exactly where they should light. It's important to know where is the best place in your scenario to light. Now, halacha vav. Sarech lahanicha ladlika b'mekom hanachas. You should light it, and where you light it, where you put, what are you putting it? Don't move it afterwards. Right? Like your case. Don't light it perpendicular and move it. You're supposed to light it where you're leaving it. Let's say the Baal Bais is sick. He's an old man. He's sick in bed. Say, what do you mean? Let him have some happy. Let him have some fun. He wants. Let him bring it to his bed. Light the menorah. And then bring it to the window. No, you're not allowed to do that. You don't bring in the Ner Chanukah that Lika Itzel Mitas to light it by his bed. Then put it in its place. You have to light it in the place where you're putting it. Right? So therefore, if you can't light, don't light. Let someone else light it for you. Let's say Halacha Zayin. When should I light? What's the best opportune time? When's the halachically time I'm supposed to light? Zman ha'adlako b'tzeitzei kachavim. The time to light is by tzeitzei kachavim. Which we hear about, let's say, should be 20 minutes after Shkia. The best time to light is going to be 20 minutes after Shkia, which is most years, at least this year also, is going to be 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock in this area, 4:40 Shkia. 5 o'clock, you should try to light 5 by 5, 5 by 5, randoms in that area. That's the time, the best time, the first time you do the mitzvah, you're supposed to light. It's important to try to light in that window, because if you should try to light that as best you can. If you can, if you're able to light, if everyone's, if you're home, your wife is home, then you should light. As your agur paskin, if your wife is not home, then you should wait for her till the latest month. Even though it's more b'diavad, you should wait for her to light. Fine, but uchsheigias man, when you reach the time, once it comes time to light, 5 o'clock, vayilchav, no eating, vayilmat, stop learning, no learning. Ashya, go light your candle, go back to your gemara. Take stop for 2 minutes and go back to learn.
But you're davening marav at that time.
Oh, so some people are not mak. Some people are makir daven mayer before. Some people are not. Some people, if you daven mayer exactly, then you're right. So then you can't. If you can daven mayer, then you can't do both at one time. If you're Ashkenazim or you're waiting to daven mayer after tzitzit kachavim, right? And you daven mayer only 20 minutes after shkia. You're right. You cannot be davening mayer and lighting the menorah at the same time. So those who are makir daven mayer first, because they have a reason. Because maybe tadev shein tadev, they want to say shema first. Then they're not going to light it 20 minutes. You're right. They can light it a third. But what they do is they run home. They want to get it within the first, that half hour of 20 minutes. Right? They want to get it within the first half hour of 20 minutes. So basically, what they do is daven mayer for 15 minutes. They run home and they light right afterward. If you're Sephardi, it's easier because you can daven mayer for Plag HaMincha already. So you can daven mayer much earlier. You have no problem. You can daven mayer at 4 o'clock and then
after Plag. Yeah, but if they need a minion, you help them out. And you
fine, everybody has another situation. But fine, but the point is, if you can daven mayer, the point is, the best thing is run home immediately after daven mayer. If you want to daven mayer 20 minutes after, run home and don't dilly dally. Go home and immediately, as soon as you can, go light the menorah.
You're supposed to set up the candle beforehand.
Right, of course. That's obvious. If you set up the candle beforehand, you're much smarter to set up the candle before. Well, any situation, you try to always set them up in the morning before you leave your house, because usually when you come home already, it's late and this and that. The best thing is the morning before you leave to wherever you're going, set up your menorah. So when you come home, it's already all set up, the wicks and whatever, all your things. Set clean after yesterday's cups, but the new cups is the best idea. Set it up in the morning before you leave, so it's ready set up. Especially on the eighth day, it takes time to start setting it up. Then you can miss this man, this and that, and get no. Fine. Of course, this is all the chatchil. The best thing is to light it 20 minutes. It's going to make issues. For sure, not worth to get angry. The best time to get frustrated, pressured. Anybody, just relax. It's the best. It's good. Just relax. That's the main thing. Oh, let's say someone didn't light at Tzitzit Kachavim. They didn't light for 20 minutes. They're waiting for their wife to come home. They didn't get home. They were stuck in traffic. Right? Im loyed lik b'Tzitzit Kachavim. If you did not light b'Tzitzit Kachavim, yadlik v'ibrachi, light with a bracha, calls mashmidei b'day stern. As long as the people in your house are still awake, as long as you can make advertise the nace of Hanukkah in your house, it's good enough. Avon yishenim, but if they're sleeping already, you can't really make a bracha. Yadlik b'loy bracha. You can't make a bracha. Oh, so that's also. So here we're referring to a case where you're not. If there are people still walking by, also you can make a bracha. So these days they say what's right. Then Mar really says you're allowed to light until people stop walking by. So basically, it depends. It really, in a certain way, it depends where you live. It depends where you live. It really depends on where you live. Depends where you live.
You can even light until all the shoppers. You can wake up your children right then.
Yeah, you can wake the people up. If they're happy to be woken up, wake them up so you can light. Don't wake them up to do lighting. Tell them you want to light. Most people, you ask them. No, let's say someone didn't light right away and their wife is sleeping. They live in a place where no one's passing by. So if she's not getting up, make a light without a bracha. If you live in like a back alley, no one passes by your house, and you know, a little machsan, you have no windows, don't know what you light exactly, but he'll figure out what to light. And no one passing by. You light the doorway because your neighbors see when they pass by. So then, if your wife's sleeping, you have a problem. Wake her up. Or don't light without a bracha. Say, mute, daibish nana. As long as two people are awake, that's enough of presumenista. You know, the whole family. You don't have to wake up the whole family, all the neighbors, everybody to come see your thing. Two people awake is good enough. Now, important halacha, it's for us, we have oil, Baruch Hashem, these days. We have a lot of shefa of oil. But this halacha is very, again, we need to know this one Friday on Erev Shabbos. Tarek Shehitim Hashem, we have to put in enough oil. Shehidlak lefachot chatzisha, that should light at least a half hour. There was not enough oil. Even if you add oil afterwards, you don't get your mitzvah. If you lit, and when you lit, there was not enough oil, which some of those in America, they sell somebody's official Hanukkah candle that lasts about 10 minutes, those birthday candles, you don't get your mitzvah. Now they're getting better, they sell bigger ones. But some that, you know, if you light birthday candles, you're not getting your mitzvah. But you have to make sure the candles that you buy are that some of them melt very quickly. You have to make sure that if you want to light candles, those thin, colorful candles, makes your Hanukkah, your colorful, then you have to make sure that it's going to last. And you can't always know they're going to last that fast. Sometimes if there's a bigger fire, the thing melts quicker, it's windy, I don't know how it works. Basically, if you're getting candles, try not to rely on those Hanukkah candles. Get bigger Shabbos candles. Get something that's going to last. Because if a person has it, it does not last, they're not used to the mitzvah. Buy a bigger way. They could have a beautiful Shabbos candle. Get nice wax candles for the mitzvah. If you can, get nice candles. But either way, just make sure if you're making a bracha that you'll last at least half hour. Now, where does this come
from? The oil.
The oil.
I found it from experimenting. The yellow oil from Seville burns longest. It burns until it's finished, usually. The green oil from Seville and all the way from Cordoba, the wick pulls them less well and usually goes out before the oil's finished.
Right, so it's good to make sure you have enough oil. Now, where's halacha very practical? We need to know this for Shabbos, because at Erev Shabbos, when do we light? We light usually before you go to shul, or even 20 minutes before Shkia. You're lighting before Shkia.
40.
You're lighting, some of you even like 40 minutes to now. You have to wait 40 minutes before Shkia has to last, plus another 20 minutes from Shkia till Tzitzit Kachavim, and then another half hour. So if you're lighting 40 minutes before, because you're supposed to light before your wife lights her candles, right? That's halacha. Even though we're going to say that you don't have to accept Shabbos, the minute is you are supposed to light before her. So if your wife lights at 40, you have to light 42 minutes before Shkia. Then you have to wait another 20, till Shkia 40 minutes, plus another 20 minutes till Tzitzit Kachavim, plus another half hour. So your candles have to last an hour and a half. Now those Hanukkah candles are not going to help you. So therefore you have to be very careful, and you don't get your mitzvah, it's a bracha l'vatala. You have to be very careful. Even also oil, an hour and a half oil, you have to make sure to put enough oil. So basically you can do experiment on an earlier night, see how much it takes, can put a lot, or experiment one of the nights before Shabbos, see what at least an hour and a half. You need at least to get your mitzvah, the bare minimum is an hour and a half to get your mitzvah. Basically you have to check your cups, see everybody's different cups, different sizes. Basically put a lot of oil if you want to get your mitzvah on Friday. Make sure it's enough to last an hour and a half.
They have these kits that are pre-filled olive oils, but you just drop them in.
I don't know. I'm sure they try to make sure, but even then you should be careful. Check it on other nights. Make sure it lasts an hour and a half. I'm sure they try to work it out. But these things, sometimes they cut it close, these fancy kits.
With regards to the only two people, let's say, have to publicize the miracle in your house.
Now, in this case,
apply also outside. Like only one person walks by your house, is that still counted as publicizing? You and somebody.
I'll tell you,
else
it says Asher Tichlo Regel Menashuk until the finish. Nobody is walking. It says now even one person comes to pass by. It's good if you ask a rabbi about your situation.
You live in a place where only two, three people walk by general.
But if you know, it could be they'll walk by. Then you don't know if they can walk by. Maybe they're at a Hanukkah party. It's not so simple. Right. Meaning, in this scenario, when you know for sure there's two people in your house, it's good enough. There, it's almost one guy maybe passes by. You have to ask a shayla. Back alleys are usually more complicated.
And also, isn't b'di'evit, you fulfill the mitzvah, because lighting is the mitzvah, even if you don't fulfill the 30 minutes.
No. Lighting, no, not if it's in a good, if it wasn't right to light the whole thing. Okay, so you're right. You have to He's saying here you didn't get your mitzvah, but you're right, because he's going to. He says later also, like, if you didn't do it, then you can make without light without a bracha. Nachum is saying, Api, on a simple level, you don't get your mitzvah if you didn't last right. A half hour.
You want to be left back to the Jews. So
Nachon, yeah, Nachon. Yeah, but the way he said, I know, I'm saying the way he said it. Here he says you don't get your mitzvah. If you didn't last a half hour, you did not fulfill your mitzvah. So therefore, on Friday, it makes mainly be careful about with those candles, those little Hanukkah candles, and Friday, to make sure Friday night that we can have enough oil in the oil. Halacha, you're saying, let's say a person started lighting Hanukkah candles, they forgot to make a bracha. They were so in a rush to light before by the 20 minutes, and they rushed, and they forgot to make a bracha. They forgot to make the bracha. So what do? Hidlik ner Hanukkah, you forgot to make a bracha. The shachach v'leber, imadai lo gomar, if you still did not finish lighting all the candles, then yivarach v'echus lahadlik, you should make the bracha now. V'yadlik anashar. So the bracha lahadlik ner Hanukkah, you could only do as long as you're still lighting some, you have some candles still to light, even though they're not the main candle.
So
as long as
you make the bracha first, then you light.
Right. Usually, it's used to be now. Let's say the guy will lift some candle. He forgot to make a bracha. So as long as you're still in the middle of lighting some candles, you make the bracha. However, the other two brachas, or the other one bracha, Shasanit and Shechiyanu, on the first night, you could make even after you finish lighting all the candles. Fine. Then you obviously you light in shul, right? Just the front you light in shul. But he better pass with something interesting. He says, let's say you were the one to light in shul, and it's the first night of Hanukkah. So you said Shechiyanu just now. So could you go home again and make Shechiyanu? The Bet Eshchai Paskins, the Arshi say yes. The Bet Eshchai Paskins no. So if you were ready in shul, and if you were ready in shul, that's true. Then Eshchai says sorry, brachos lahakas is a very machlokes. It's not so simple. Right? He said, if you're ready with the ones who lit for the tiber, you were the chazan, so you lit in shul, and you said Shechiyanu in the shul, first, you cannot go and make Shechiyanu. Fine, there is machlok is about that, but I think the Rashi said, they say yes, right? Who said the Shabura says? Right, it sounds like, because I see the way he wrote here already.
The mitzvah is in the house, not in
the shul. Nachon, but still, you're going to make a new bracha of a shul, of Shasanisim, Lahadik, and Shalchanaka in your house again. It's true. Even if you were the one to light a shul, you make your mitzvah, you light, make a new bracha at home. You make a Lahadik Ner. It's a specific question about Shechiyanu. Shechiyanu, you're making on a new mitzvah that you didn't do since last year. But you did this mitzvah already in shul. So how are you going to make another Shechiyanu? So Meshchai Paskin, you don't make an Echshon. You're right, so you're Ashkenazi Jew, Ashkenazi really Paskin, Meshavura Paskins. There are people that say that you would make a new Shechiyah.
What about a new garment?
Fine, you could, you're right, you could always get out of it.
A new food, or...
You're right, you could always get out of it.
Say, Shechiyanu on Sukkanyok.
Right. But I don't want to make my new, brand new suit full of wax. I'm not wearing it right now while I'm lighting candles.
I have a question. So if you're in Shul, and they're going to say the brachas...
Yeah, but he's not trying to fulfill, because with these brachas, he's not trying to fulfill your mitzvah of Hanukkah, because everybody's allowed to go home and
so you have to keep in mind.
No, it's fine, because everybody knows he's not making you fulfill your mitzvah at home. It's a special chena. Chazal say you should also do it true for Pesuvah Nisa, but you don't have to. It's fine. You know, just relax and enjoy. Right, no one's yet said. Even the guy, yeah, no one's yet said. From a shul, it's not yet said.
Nobody has that commandment because you're not
yotzi. You can't. Also, you can't be yet.
You can't be yotzi.
Because I'm not being yotzi. Right, it's not possible yet to with them. Because it's a shul. That's halacha. The Gemara says just for Pesuvah Nisa. It's not. He said even a poor person can't be yotzi. The shul one is not for the mitzvah at home. It's a different halacha. No, not because it's a different mitzvah for Pesuvah Nisa. It's a special halacha.
It's a community shul, and you.
And you pay membership, it doesn't matter. Even if you pay your membership, it doesn't matter. Even if you pay membership, it doesn't help you. Full members doesn't help you for this one.
Full membership.
Yeah, it's not going to help you this time.
All right,
Rabbi. Now, halacha Yud Beis says, what's the best thing? Should I use wax or oil? The best thing to use is Shemen Zayis. That's the halacha Beis. Shemen Zayis Mitzvah Menam Ofchar. The choice is the way to do the mitzvah. The best way is with oil. It's possible if that's our menorah holds oil. If they only hold candles, then I don't know if it helps you to put oil. But the best way to do the mitzvah is with Shemen. Now, a person should not light some wax oil and some wax and some oil. And it looks like there's two different people lighting the menorah. You should light with one thing, and the shred also make sure they're even. Which means also, if someone has a candle half wax and half burned down, and a new one, you want to just use the old cheap one. Make sure all your candles are supposed to be even. We know you're not supposed to benefit from the candles, right? Whether it's even for Kedusha, even if I want to learn a statement, even if I want to read my Ma'oz Tor from my fancy pamphlet, I'm not allowed to use the first half hour. I'm not allowed to benefit from the thing, even though there's a shamash there, even though there is a shamash there. And these days, the reason why we put that extra candle, so it shouldn't be a problem. So Al Pi Kabbalah, you should not benefit from it, even if you have the shamash there. He says it's very bad. Basically, you're giving power from the holy nearest of Hanukkah, and you're bringing it down to the other side. So it's not a good idea. It's not recommended. Even though Al Pi Halacha, you have a shamash, so you can, since the whole point of lighting the extra candle, especially us these days, we have electric lights, so therefore you're not really only benefiting, you should try not to read from the and the candles for the exactly only for the first half hour. Like we said earlier, Lachi Yilchai says it's good for chinuch, since by the Sfaranam only the father of the household makes the bracha and lights the menorah. They don't, all the children and all the boys do not make a bracha. They don't light their own menorah. Therefore, he said for chinuch, you should light the main one and let them, the children, light the additional ones for chinuch.
Right. It's also important to know. Now it's not a problem. There was fear with the loud problem. The Chalukiyah, all the seating of the candles has to be straight.
Right.
Has to be a straight line. No waves, no curls, or no dark.
Right. Yes, people make like that.
But it's not straight, the it's same not. Level and the same line across, it's not about a Chalukiyah.
Oh. Right, fine. Now we said Erev Shabbos, for example, we said on Halacha, Yechaveh says, I'm trying to move through quickly, I want to get through a few Halachas. Erev Shabbos, who lights first, the husband or the man? The husband lights menorah before Shabbos candles. Which means if your wife is Makkah to light 40 minutes Shabbos candles, you better be ready to light your menorah before she lights candles. And so just wait until she's ready, until you're ready to light. The man has to light first, and then the woman lights. Correct? That's the way. Good? Harry says, once the man already even lit the first candle, let's say it's later, related one, once you lit your main candle, even if you're busy lighting the rest of them, the lady already can start lighting her candles. At least, you have to light at least your first candle. Now, on Matzah Shabbos is interesting. In shul and at home, it's two different halachas. What do you do first, Havdalah or menorah? So in shul, so if you're at home, you can do Havdalah first, finish Shabbos, go out from Shabbos, and then do the menorah afterwards. In shul, they do the opposite, because they want everybody to run out and go home after they finish Havdalah, like they're used to running out. They're right halfway out the door, especially the smokers, they're like, there's blood right at the door. They're like, so therefore, in shul, we do the opposite. But at home, make sure first Havdalah, take out Shabbos, and then you light the menorah. So you just, at home, do your thing. In shul, they'll take care of it.
What's the term of that? You do the thing you do most frequently first?
Tadav she'ena tadav, tadav kodim. That whatever's more frequent, you do first. But hey, here you think it's time, take out Shabbos first. That's the... You take a Shabbos and then you light your candles.
In shul?
No, at home.
Oh, right.
At home,
do it.
Right, if you want to keep Shabbos longer. But in shul, we don't want everybody to slide out the door. Therefore, you first do Havdalah.
So, how is it in a person and keep Rabbeinu Tam? You have to keep it?
Yes, yeah, so if you always machmer to Rabbeinu Tam, also I'll tell you. Depends. If you keep Rabbeinu Tam always and you always keep Rabbeinu Tam, then a Chanukah always keep Rabbeinu Tam. Then you light, you do your best. You keep Shabbos to Rabbeinu Tam, so you light after Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the people who light Rabbeinu Tam, but then. It's fine, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, you light right at Rabbeinu Tam. If I'm being machmer Rabbeinu Tam, it's Tzitzit Kechavim isn't until Rabbeinu Tam.
Right.
So the whole point of lighting in 20 minutes, I want to light right at Tzitzit Kechavim. But here, I don't want to light Tzitzit Kechavim, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not yet Tzitzit Kechavim. So light right at 72, Da'am Mayim. So Da'am Mayim before, and right 72, make Havdalah quickly, and light as soon as possible. It's also a priest, we should be careful to light as soon as possible. Because most people aren't lighting at 20 minutes, because we want to be mach, we don't want to be Mechal Shabbat. Usually during the week, we don't care to go to leaning to pinnies to light at 20 minutes. That's the earliest opinion of Tzitzit Kechavim. But on Shabbos, we don't want to start lighting then. It might be Shabbos. Therefore, make sure to keep Shabbos, whatever you always keep, Daven Ma'ariv before. Make sure you finish Ma'ariv. If you take a Shabbos in 40 minutes, be finished Ma'ariv by then, make Havdalah, and do a menorah as soon as you can. So don't waste time to Daven. Don't make a long Shalosh Shodes. Just make a quick Shalosh Shodes, Daven Ma'ariv, and light your candles. Fine. Shkach.